Blog Talk Radio. Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone. Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, bonjour. In Spain, hola. In Italy, ciao. In Egypt, ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, akwaba. In Nigeria, peleo. In South Africa, sawubona. In Senegal, nangadef. In Kenya, jambo. In Israel, shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
What if you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant? Our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of our cells, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about self-care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
Well, good morning, Tuesday morning, February 8th, and we are here live on Self-Care. And I'm starting the show a little differently, starting today going forward. Every single morning that I'm on, I'm going to tell you why I share this show. Now, I typically fit it in somewhere, but the story goes, I was misdiagnosed in 1997 and put on 19 different medications that took me from being a bodybuilder to obese, and that happened within a few weeks. I put on a total of 100 pounds, 50 of it went on in 2 weeks and the other 50 over the following few months, and stayed that way for two decades until I understood that food was my medicine and not synthetics. And so I now use this platform to help everybody else become a little bit more aware about the power of food as medicine. And that doesn't mean that there's not times for Western medicine. Western medicine has helped me greatly especially if you have a broken leg or a torn ligament, but there's actually even frequency medicine for that. So I'm just saying there's an opportunity to get out of the box and try things differently, because when I was faced with my own mortality, I decided that doing the same thing and expecting a different result, as Albert Einstein said, was the definition of insanity. So here we are, and I have an amazing guest today. Her name is Amanda Monnier, and I'm going to bring her on. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you for being here. I'm so excited to have been connected with you, and I love your story. And I would, you know, why don't you start off by sharing with people about your health journey and how you came to be where you're at? Because, you know, you're a health warrior, an energetic healer warrior. So go ahead.
Yeah, so as far as the health piece goes, I had my parents divorced when I was about 6 years old, and I know like the reasons now. I didn't know why I was struggling with skin issues my entire life up until about 30. I'm 32 now,
mm-hmm.
And I had this. My skin just broke out. Like, it started probably in about sixth, seventh grade, and I just had it was mainly my face, but sometimes elsewhere. And it was something that was just very uncomfortable for me. It's like, you know, when we have breakouts on our face, it can be very, it messed with the self-esteem. And I tried everything aside from, the only thing I didn't try was Accutane. I tried the Western medicine approach. I did the vegan diet for 2 years. I did the detoxes. I did literally everything. And so it was just really hard for me, being like a grown woman and still being in my late 20s, early 30s, and having the breakouts on my face, because it was just something I was very self-conscious of.
Sure.
And as I continued to peel back the layers and go deep on all the things that I had suppressed inside my body, my skin slowly started to clear up. And it was within the last year that I really got to like that nucleus, if you will,
yeah,
of the things that were actually causing the acne. Because what I've learned on my journey is the physical symptoms are just a manifestation of something so much deeper going on inside.
Oh, totally.
And it can be so many different things, right? And we're told and we're taught to put it into a box and to kind of piecemeal it, if you will, to where it's like, okay, if you have a skin issue, you go to the dermatologist. You don't necessarily look at those deeper levels and layers. It's not something that is necessarily common in society. And so I was like at a loss at this point.
Well, I mean, let me just say, I want to like have people really hear what you just said. It's not something common that we look at in society. We don't look at how we feel and how it manifests as disease. Like, most people don't connect our emotional well-being with our physical body.
Yeah, and I think that is shifting. I will say, I think it's becoming more common,
mm-hmm,
that there is, you know, there are more people doing this type of work, and it isn't as woo-woo maybe or taboo as it would have been, you know, 10 years ago. And so I do think that that is something that's amazing. I've seen a lot of people kind of doing this more conscious medicine, if you will, and really addressing it from a whole person perspective, like the mind, body, spirit, you know, it's the mental, the physical, all the things.
Well, let's talk about the woo-woo for a moment, because, you know, besides studying under functional medicine doctors and, you know, other traditional Chinese medicine doctors, I watched the series, the docuseries, The Truth About Cancer, and there's one line that I always remembered. I mean, I remembered a lot of it, but this one: you can eat all the organic food that you want, and if you don't take care of what's going on between your ears, meaning your emotional health, your brain health, you're still going to get cancer. So we know that when you're stressed, it increases your cortisol levels. We know what cortisol is damaging to the body, to the innate immune system. It's damaging to your nervous system. So, people can say it's woo-woo, but it's your body. And there's science behind it.
Absolutely. I found that identity is a very powerful component because it's all tied into our structure and how we see ourselves. And if, for me, going kind of back, circling back to the acne, when I was little, when I started uncovering these things, it was all tied to my light is too bright and I need to dim my light. And so I was playing this character, if you will. And the way it was shown to me when I was able to really like kind of get that final piece was this like costume I had put on. That like I couldn't be beautiful and I wasn't beautiful. And so when I'm wearing this, you know, costume,
man.
And when I have this program running in the background, it would make sense to why my body would be responding and affirming that for me, because that's what I told it to do for 25 years, 30 years.
Yeah, and how many of us have been asked to dim our light? Like,
yeah,
I'm in right now, and I'm not going to get into the political agenda around it or the health agenda. Let's forget the health for a moment. The physical health, okay? I'm just going to talk about the emotional health of wearing a mask physically. You're being asked to dim your light. What happens when you smile?
Right?
Your whole face lights up.
Mm-hmm.
And to me,
usually you create a smile with somebody else. You smile most of the time. They smile.
Right.
Back.
So if you smile, the other person's going to respond in kind. And so, and today we're talking about how you can't fake frequency, right? And so I'm really glad you brought that up. And I have a question for you because I'm called to read this. There's somebody on Facebook. Her name is Jamie Zahn. And do you know this person? Okay. So the news can covers reruns from last week, but can't help me and my family, Sarah. And I've been asking Spirit, and they're asking me to, I have no clue to answer these kinds of questions, but my sister has been missing for 3 months. Her friends and even the cops won't say or do anything. And she has an 8-year-old son who she would never abandon. She has not called him either or me or her family last year to hear from Sarah with her son's grandma, December 10th, 2021. Please help Sarah Zahn missing from Fargo, North Dakota. We're both intuitives. Do you want to address this or do we want to address this offline? I can address it offline or I can address it here.
I would say, like, preliminarily, one thing that I've learned, it's, like, if that's your, like, intuition telling you something, it's probably spot on, so don't stop.
Okay, so I'm gonna channel this for this person. So, mm-hmm. I hope you're listening up still. Let me just take a look at this. Let's see. So, your sister's name is Sarah. And is that right? And I just need you to reply in the comments here. So I feel like Sarah's alive. Let me see if she's calling in. She hasn't called in. So if you want to call in to the show, it's 515-605-9325. And I don't typically answer these questions, these types of questions. This is, I'm more of a medical intuitive. Hold on a second. Your choice in that, was it her conscious choice in the matter or unconscious choice in the matter? I'm hearing there's a conscious choice on behalf of Sarah in the matter, not an unconscious choice, meaning she manifested it unconsciously. Whatever she's doing, it's a conscious choice. That's what I'm told to say. And I'm told to tell you to breathe through this. There's a lesson here for you, and you need to breathe through it. And you need to step up for the family and support, just be the support and bright light that you are. What else does Jamie need to do? They just keep on saying you need, in spite of the storm, they're saying be the light. So, Jamie, I hope that helps. We have an angry monster here. Oh, that's Jamie. Oh, Jamie's angry because of what's going on. I get it. Sorry about that, Jamie. My heart goes out to you. I would meditate, Jamie. I would go, if you don't know how to meditate, there's a lot of different places on YouTube where you can teach you how to meditate, or you can, do you teach people how to meditate, Amanda? We haven't gotten to you really yet. I mean, except for the story.
So I do like breath session, meditation, and yoga, yin yoga. So I'll do like guided meditations and things of that nature. And I do have my own meditation practice. So I meditate for at least an hour a day.
So Jamie, it's interesting that you came on to this show. Amanda, you have a background in law enforcement. And I feel like, Jamie, if you really want help, not from the law enforcement side, but from the intuitive side, you need to see Amanda. That's what I'm hearing. There's something about what she does that's going to help you on your journey. Don't know exactly. Oh, it's about you creating a new life. Okay. All right, so let's go on. So could you do me a favor, Amanda, and in the comment or in the private chat, put down your contact information so I can put this down here. So if people want to reach out to you, they can.
Yeah.
And then I'll post it. So, so today we're talking about you can't fake your frequency. So, Amanda called me, or I called her. I can't remember. We got on the phone. We got on the phone to connect and to learn a little bit about each other and for me to invite Amanda to this show. And I was in a little bit of a rush. And I said, you know, Amanda, you know, I said, I can't be on the phone right now. I think I was in training with Dr. Josh Axe that moment. And I said, but I get who you are, right? And I would love to have you, you know, on this show, the self-care. And she said, well, you can't fake frequency. And I said, and that's the name of the show. Can you explain for people, Amanda, what frequency is?
Yeah, so the way I would explain it is we all have, like, we're all a bunch of energy vibrating together. If you put your hand under a microscope, it'll get to a point to where you see faces. So if everything is energy, then our physical body is compressed of energy vibrating together. And vibration, frequency, so there are different, emotions, mm-hmm. and viruses. Everything carries a frequency. Everything has a frequency to it. So, for example, I've come across things where people will, like, speak certain words, but it doesn't match up with, like, that intuitive, like, their frequency. And so it can get kind of interesting. And that's why I always, like, one of the main things that I am passionate about teaching people is really just learning to use their own intuition muscle and to take their power back and to just really start to trust themselves, because everywhere that I've kind of gone off track, and there have been lessons there, but it's because I didn't follow my intuition. I didn't trust myself when I already knew, like, the person was saying some things,
right.
But like, I just knew that something, it wasn't right. And this can be kind of subtle, and that's why it can be a practice, and you don't have to be hard on yourself or anything like that. It's really just about learning the ways in which you sense these things, because again, we at a deeper level can feel these things. And sometimes, like I mentioned, they can be very, very subtle. So where we're just kind of like, I feel like something's off here, but I don't know exactly what it is. And then we can learn to kind of get more information and things of that nature. And with intuition too, it's like, for me, I sense intuition, I feel it deeply in my body, to where if sometimes I'm even in a session with somebody and I'll feel the pain in my body or the emotion or, and then it's so profound. Some people will hear things more often than they maybe feel things. Some people will see things and see visions and things of that nature. Some people just know. They're like, I just know that this is just the thing. I don't know why, but I just know. And then they're on to something. So, yeah, so I would say, just to kind of like wrap it up, the frequency is just a way that we intuitively can kind of measure energy and feel and sense it. And it, I want to point out too, that it's all coming from our lens of the way we see things. Like the way I perceive something might be different than the way that you or your friend sees something. And so it's really just kind of like feeling into it and collecting information, and which kind of opens the space for us to feel into what's right for us in certain situations.
So yeah, you're so spot on. And you know, how many times, if you're listening here, how many times have you been, if you've done something, you say, oh, I should have trusted my gut, you know? And we've all done that, where we haven't trusted our gut. And our gut is our body's way, our higher self's way of cueing us into what's around us. I'm so attuned at this point that if I'm walking, and actually this is even before this point. So it was back in 2017. And I'm kind of coming into who I am. And I'm at a concert in Wisconsin. And my girlfriend Lee says, oh, let's cut down that alley. And I said, no, we're not. Because I just knew bad news. Not because it was an alley, but because of the energy that was coming from the alley. And so I've had that where I'm walking in a forest and I'm like, yeah, we don't want to go through there. There could be a portal. There could be just a bad energy where, you know, whatever. Or the thing is, we know. The question is, are we going to listen? So you already know what's good, what's not good for you. Are you going to listen to yourself? Honor you? Because that's really what it's all about. And when I look at frequency, I like to really ground it for people. And something, let's take it out of the human body for the moment, shall we? Amanda, do you have a car?
I do.
Do you have a key fob?
I do.
Do you use the key fob to open up the car?
Yeah.
Yep. Isn't that nothing more than a frequency?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I know. I think I love this illustration, because I was even talking to someone about this the other day, and I mentioned, like, our phone. You plug a number into your phone and it can call someone across the country, but sometimes we question certain things as far as, you know, connecting with the human body or connecting, or when we think of someone, then they just call. It's the same thing. We're just tuning into something, like a specific signature, mm-hmm. and connecting in that way. And one thing I want to mention too, with the intuition piece and the trusting yourself piece, and why it's also so important. So I'll give a, can I share a quick story?
Oh, please do.
Perfect. Perfect. So when I left my career in law enforcement, I had signed up to work with a business coach. And initially, there were beautiful lessons there, so I don't regret any of it, although there were a lot of times during this process where there were things that were that I was told to do that felt so yucky in my body. Like, my whole body was like, that is not in alignment. Like, anything from doing certain, like, marketing strategies, to where it was almost like creating this like illusion of scarcity or fear, like
yeah,
the marketing tactics we're told to do.
Yeah, I never do that. It's abundance.
Yeah, no.
Abundance.
And I couldn't do it. And I didn't know why I couldn't do it. And I found out why. But throughout this year with this person, mm-hmm. there were these little things that would happen to where I just felt so off, like things weren't matching up. And I didn't quite understand because it was kind of subtle.
Mm-hmm.
And then it kind of culminated to this physical illness in my body. And I lost my ability to, I was in bed for like a couple weeks. And some people were like, oh, you have the flu or whatever. And I didn't. I knew I didn't because yeah. I know how this stuff works. And I knew it was like the deeper manifestation of how far away I had gone from my truth. And I lost my taste and smell.
Did you really?
I realized, yeah, I did. It was like for like 2-3 weeks. And, you know, I'm sure everybody would probably jump to conclusions on why. But I knew it was deeper.
Well, yeah, because, cool part, I mean, and like, if we jump to that conclusion about the why,
mm-hmm.
it's still energy. What were you so scared of that you manifested getting that kind of sickness?
Yeah,
I mean,
so
I got that kind of sickness 3 times, but I got it for a day and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'm like, oops,
yeah.
Change my vibration.
Yes. I had realized that I had given my power away
mm-hmm.
to somebody else
mm-hmm.
and that I had put this person on some sort of pedestal.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came to these realizations, because in my head it was like a friendship and there was just all these things. This is definitely the short version of the story, but it was so profound that it took me a couple of days to really integrate the fact that this was what was keeping me stuck. And I had unconsciously chose this because it wasn't the first time that this was a pattern that this character, if you will, showed up to reflect to me that I was not trusting myself, that I was like still a little afraid to go all in and be 100% authentic. And once I realized all this, my taste came back within 30 minutes. My smell came back within 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Like I was eating at lunch with my girlfriend and I'm like, oh my gosh, like it had been gone for 3 weeks. So it was like almost like I lost my taste for life. And it just, and instantly when I brought this to my conscious awareness, mm-hmm. it wasn't a thing anymore. And I was 100% fine.
So, yeah. So you lost your taste for life. Right. And so when you look at that, when I get in an upset, I can't eat. And then I gain weight. And why? I can't eat, but I gain weight. Because I lose my taste for life, and I feel like I'm carrying what? The weight of the world on my shoulders. It's not too hard to figure out once we take time to breathe it in and understand. But we've been programmed to think otherwise, that we need to feel. Agreed?
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing I've learned during this whole process is I'm the type of person that I'm like, I want, and this is a pattern that I am aware of, and have actually, it's been very uncomfortable for me to work through this, to where it's like, I just want to, like, I don't want anybody to be mad at me. And this was something growing up. It's like, I just felt like it was my job to fix it. And it's actually not our job to allow other people to like dump their emotional stuff on us. There's a balance between like kindness, like holding space, and allowing them to work through their own stuff. Because there was I don't even remember who said this, but it beautifully illustrated the fact that it's like when we accept that and they're dumping their stuff on us, that lowers our vibration. And then we're not able to show up in our authentic way. Like if we're in our authenticity and in our light, and granted, we're human. There's going to be emotions that come up. There's going to be things that come up that are uncomfortable. And there's nothing, for me at least, there's been nothing that's been all sunshine and rainbows about this journey, this really unraveling the layers and coming back home to myself is kind of how I refer to it. There's been nothing that has been 100% blissful about it. I wouldn't have it any other way. I wouldn't change it. But it's it's definitely a process of letting go of all the delusions, the lies, the conditioning, the imprints that are placed upon us or our perception of the world. Maybe it served its purpose for one point in time to keep us safe, but we can choose something else as we continue to grow and evolve and like really come back to our center and our truth and our essence. And kind of circling back to this balance, it's just, I found it to be so important to have the balance and to be okay with people not maybe, because maybe they're going through their own process and me jumping in and trying to fix it and say, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry when I didn't do anything wrong, takes them away from their process of maybe processing their triggers or their act, the thing that was activated in them. There's a difference. And we, I've just found it to be something that has been powerful for me to just even ask for help too. It's like, oh man, this feels really uncomfortable. God, source, universe, divine. Like, I'm open to receiving the guidance and the information and to really seeing what is here for me to see so that I can show up with kindness, but not to the detriment of myself to where I'm trying to solve something that isn't mine to solve. Like, I'm trying to fix
not
someone
your
else.
Charge. Where
yeah.
It's not your charge.
Mm-hmm.
Let's
exactly.
come back to that. We have to go to commercial. And let's go back to that because I want to talk about when it's not your charge, enablement, when you're enabling others or people are enabling you, right, and allowing people on their journey. So if I forget about it, let me know when we come back. You know, trying to share the show while we chat, you know. So let me go to commercial.
Hi, I'm Jody Susan, Susan Essentials. I started Susan Essentials in 2015 because of a personal health journey. I was over-medicated and put on 19 different medications. And yes, I reversed all my chronic diseases using plant and energy-based healing. It was amazing. At Susan Essentials, we support both consumers and businesses, and we do that with helping your employees or yourself with a food as medicine mindset. How Susan Essentials supports businesses and consumers is we teach people about a food as medicine mindset. So we support people on how to support their own immune system, how to support their brain health, how to support their emotional well-being. And we do that all with plant and an energy-based healing.
Okay,
the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Okay, and then the next commercial I'm playing, which is quick, for those people who buy online, you might want to perk up because this is how you can get paid for buying online when you refer what you bought to somebody else.
Welcome to Quick Click, where customers can buy, share, and earn. Meet Sam. Sam owns an e-commerce business that sells athletic shoes and running gear. Sam wants to increase her sales without increasing marketing spend, so she decides to list her products on Quick Click. On Quick Click, her loyal customers can get paid for sharing her products with their friends. Sam uploads her products to the marketplace, just like she would on Amazon or Shopify. Meet Laura. Laura is in the market for a new pair of shoes and comes across Sam's brand on the Quick Click marketplace.
able to check on any other e-commerce site. After purchasing, Laura was to begin earning the cash. Her friend Jessica opens Laura's Clink account. Jessica purchased using Laura's QuickBank. Laura received QuickCash in her account. After purchasing, Jessica can now share her own QuickBank and begin her QuickCash as well. But QuickClick is more than just your typical referral or affiliate platform. QuickClick rewards customers for sales they directly and indirectly influence. So, for every sale Jessica's new QuickClick makes, Laura will earn additional QuickCash as well, making the potential for earning exponential. Laura and Jessica can transfer their QuickCash balance to their bank account at any time, or can even use QuickCash to make additional purchases in the app. Meanwhile, Sam can just watch as the sales roll in. Best of all, she doesn't have to worry about costs, since she is only spending marketing dollars when actual purchases are made. Start buying, sharing, and earning today at QuickClick.com.
Well, welcome back. And I'm going to see if we have any callers. We have a few callers, but no questions. So if you have any questions for Amanda about frequency and healing, and your vibe and how energy works, you can call in to 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak. And a little bit about Amanda. She's a holistic healer, New Earth visionary, mentor, published author, certified yoga teacher, creator of the Yin Yoga Recode Method, which we're going to ask about. And she helps people, you know, identify their authentic self, right? So what's your purpose here on the planet? Which is not supposed to be someone else's. It's supposed to be uniquely you. So let's go back. And I didn't take notes. And actually, what I'm going to do is I'm going to clear energy real quick. I use a Tibetan bell. So, all right. Look at that. This is a big bell. All right.
Oh, I love that. That's amazing.
Watch your ears, everybody. Call the doobie. A little bigger than the other bells.
Just a little.
Awesome.
But we don't discriminate. So back to you. So we were, you know, and I did lose my train of thought, and I did not take that. So we were going to talk about the frequency, I think it was. We were talking about opening up a key fob, using a key fob, and that's the, why did I lose my train of thought? That's why I cleared the energy, because I'm like, okay.
I think we were kind of going to go into, like, a little bit about boundaries and kind of we were talking about, like, when people are going through stuff and then they want to energetically kind of dump their stuff onto you.
Yes, yeah. So when people energetically dump their stuff, I just want to say something. They can do that, whether they're in the room with you or not in the room with you. So energy flows back and forth. Why don't you speak to that, Amanda?
Yeah, one thing I'll kind of illustrate, especially this would be, I mean, for everyone, but again, if you feel energy in your body very profoundly, you may even, sometimes, like, if I'm feeling something, I'll be like, I'll start off by even asking, is this even mine? Did I create this?
What did you just say? Is this even mine?
Sometimes I'll start off by asking, is this even mine? Did I create this?
Yeah. So is it your energy, or were you walking down the street and the energy from somebody else's body jumped into yours? Right?
Yeah. Okay. And I feel that it's important to point out as well, it's not something to be afraid of, because especially when we get into those frequencies of fear, chaos, all of those things. I always say anything anchored in fear or chaos is just an absolute no for me. Like if someone's trying to get me to do something and it's like an action they want me to take out of like me fearing something, it's always going to be a no, because right. I don't want to participate in anything like that, because it's just, I just don't like the way that it feels. But yeah, it's just one of those things where because again, we are all connected, right? Everything is energy. We're all connected. And so, but at the same time, we have our physical body, we have our own vessel. Like it's not our responsibility to, we could choose for it to be, maybe there's some lessons there, right? But we don't have to take on the emotional trauma, baggage, all these things of others. So again, for those of us who are very sensitive, as a lot of people who kind of participate in this work and listening, there's a chance you're probably pretty sensitive. You may have heard the term like empath or, you know, highly sensitive beings. And that's something that has been, through my journey, just having to navigate boundaries and what it is, you know, when it's time to, you know, maybe even just release certain people in a loving way, because we don't have to stay connected with everybody in that sense. So it can be something where maybe, you know, we're spending time with someone and we're just feeling exhausted after. And it's not a balanced relationship. So I love the idea of having these beautiful balanced relationships. And it's not necessarily, you know, people go through stuff. So I have, I'll use this example. I have a beautiful friendship with, I just moved to Southern California within the last year. And I met the most amazing, beautiful people here. And it's been a year of just absolute growth and really diving into some of those deeper parts that were ready to be seen and released. And so my friend's been going through the same thing. And we're able to show up for each other. And some days it's like I'm going through something, and some days she's going through something. And it's a situation to where we're kind of able to help maybe point things out the other one wouldn't see. Sometimes I kind of will go into meditation and I'll really just go deep and just, it's like, what, you know, what is it I meant to see her? Maybe it's just even just letting go and allowing that silence to move through me.
So and I want to make a distinction here, because you have a friend out there and the both of you are hearing each other, listening to each other, pointing out the blind spots, right? And what I want people to know is that it's how you show up. So if Amanda and your friend, you know, kept on being the drama or the chaos or the fear versus coming into the situation, okay, so this is happening, it's a repeat behavior, I see this pattern, and can you help me understand where this pattern might be coming from? Is a matter of discernment versus judgment, right? And that is something that most people can support, friend versus a psychologist, because you're not zapping someone's energy and being in a pity party. Now, I'm not saying that we don't have pity parties, but you got to have your 1 minute, even 5 minute pity party, cry it out, right?
Yep.
I've had my 5 minute pick, cry it out, and then get up on, you know, get back up on the horse and ride the trail, right? Ride the trail and figure out what's my part in this. Is it my energy? These are the questions that I teach people to ask when I'm teaching about my energy healing courses. So I, you know, there's a way to discern if it's your energy or not, or are you holding on to the anger? So I'll give you an example. 3 days ago, I was like holding on to anger. I'm like, I don't know what I'm angry about. I don't know what I'm angry. I'm just kind of angry. And so I said, well, okay, is this my anger? Is this my energy? And Spirit said, no. I said, who's this? She goes, Fagala. Fagala is my parent. She was a little pissy with me for not hanging out with her.
Oh my goodness.
So you gotta
look. So sensitive.
Oh my gosh, yeah. So you have to look at who's in your environment, who are you exchanging energy with, because we are the company that we keep. And that company we keep could be in your, let's say, 5 foot, 20 foot, 30 foot, whatever area, but they could also be in Nebraska, if you're like, you know, or California or Ohio or wherever, because you are energetically connected to that person, even if they're not in your physical location, because we are energy beings. And that's why you can't fake it. So if you're in an upset, and I want, okay, so if you're in an upset and your best friend calls you because she kind of felt like she needed to pipe in to help you, it's because she's getting the energetic message, because she's your close friend, that you need her help. I mean, how many times has someone called you up saying, hey, what's going on? Oh, my God, I'm so glad you called. I'm not doing that. Right? We are frequency beings. And I couldn't pinpoint this for decades, where my mom called me every single time, like without fail, when there was a problem with me. Not a problem with her, problem with me, because I'm sending out the message, Mommy. Does it make sense?
Yeah, it's just so interesting how this works, and learning how to navigate it by going through it and like pivoting on it. Like, it doesn't have to be perfect. It's a learning process. It's the situation that I went through with that individual I had mentioned. It was something that, because I was so connected and because I almost unconsciously placed her in a position of like authority, and like she knew more than me of like what was best for me, it became a situation to where I wasn't able to authentically show up in my own truth and in my alignment. And then the thing is, everyone else unconsciously, or even sometimes consciously, picks up on that. So even for those of you that are listening that maybe have a business, or you're working on getting like a side business started, or anything with the healing work, it's like that message is coming out in anything that I write and anything I speak, because it's so connected that I found myself like, oh gosh, I don't want to mess this up. I don't want to do it wrong. But you actually can't do it wrong. And you're more likely to be in a place of expansion and success when you're coming from that place of just connected to your higher self, connected to the divine, connected to God, whatever word you use to describe creator. And if it's coming through you in that space, because I know for me, any time that I've ever participated in, like even just a podcast or listening to a podcast, watching a YouTube video, or signing up for even a program, it's been like an instant soul recognition with that person, because again, you can't fake frequency. So if someone's in alignment and coming from their heart and their truth, you can feel it. Your cells can feel it. Your body expands. And it just becomes this thing to where you're like, it's a remembrance for you. And because you're seeing this aspect of you as another person, and you're like, oh gosh, like I get it. I see it. I feel it. Like, we can feel these things at a cellular level, and our body shifts and changes when we come across these type of situations. So it's really learning like what it feels like when you're not in alignment, and when you're more constricted, and even maybe paying attention to things like your breath, because the breath can become more shallow. Maybe you're not taking as many breaths in a moment. And when we're breathing deeply, it's all about, like, the breath is so tied to our ability to receive. And I'm just finding these beautiful correlations and connections with allowing this energy of surrender and receiving of even the information from my highest expression, my higher self, God, as I pause and allow the receiving, rather than thinking that I need to do everything from a mental perspective. Oh, I got to, you know, all this list of all these things I have to do. Things are so much more peaceful. It's so much more ease. It's so much more expansive.
How do you help people understand how the breath connects to someone's ability to receive? And while you're sharing about that, I'm getting myself a blanket because it's cold. So
sounds good. Yeah, so the breath, even if you break the breath apart, you breathe, breathing in, and then there's a natural pause in the breath, and then the breath out, our breath in is like, is that taking in? It is that receiving energy. And so when we breathe deeply and consciously into the belly, it slows everything down, or it even slows down the nervous system. It puts us in our body in a more relaxed state, because when we're in hyperdrive and we're in busy mode, because that's another conditioning, it's another form of societal conditioning, is I have to be busy. I have to work from 8 to 5. I have to do all these things on my to-do list. And then you get done with your day at 7 or 8 o'clock and you're depleted and you're like, okay, well, let's just go to sleep and do it all over again. It keeps us in this perpetual cycle. And to me, like, the frequency of busy, it's almost like...
it's a low vibration.
It is. It isn't, because it's not allowing those pauses. So you're coming from that more three-dimensional perspective, like that physical avatar. You're like kind of more tied to the system and the conditioning, rather than allowing life, God, your higher self, to come through you. So if you can get those downloads and take those pauses and those breaths, because let's say you have a long to-do list and you get this ping, take a break, go lay out by the pool, or go to meditate, or go to the lake, or go get a cup of coffee, whatever it might be. And you're like, no, I got all these things going on. I can't do that. Like, I have a 10 item to-do list, right? And then, but then on the flip side, what if when you're laying out by the pool, you get this download for this beautiful thing that maybe would have saved you weeks of time, because you wouldn't have been coming from the mind, you're coming from something so much bigger that's coming through you. Rather than, like, we're human beings, but we're conditioned to just be these, like, little hamsters on the hamster wheel. I actually refer to, like, the system that we're born into as modern day slavery. And I know that may be kind of triggering to some people, but it is. Like, if you get down to, like, the foundations of it, it's what to think, not how to think. You wake up and you get a set paycheck, you pay your mortgage, You get a couple days off, you get a couple weeks of vacation. It's like, well, if you choose that, that's the reality. But we don't have to choose that. I don't believe we have to choose that for one moment. Now, unwinding all the stuff, like, that's a whole other situation in and of itself. I went through that process when I left law enforcement, and it was very uncomfortable at times, because you're unweaving and unraveling the identity. There is, so to speak, a death. And so... that's why sometimes it can feel like you're dying, because a part of you is dying. It's transitioning into something that is more authentic, something that is more
death
in
of the past. Death of the past.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when we don't listen to our body, like God telling us, source energy, to slow down. Guess what? They're going to slow you down anyway. So here's the thing. You have a choice in the matter. You can either slow down, or they're going to find a way to help you slow down. And it can show up as a cold. It can show up as the flu. It can show up as a broken leg. For me, I was ignoring those signs for decades. Like, for decades. And then I went on disability because my body literally could not move. One of the things that I had was periodic paralysis. So I would eat something and I'd be out cold, couldn't move for 20 minutes, 20 or 30 minutes, give or take, right? And so if we're not listening to our body, I don't know how to explain this, but it's going to happen anyway.
It's going to manifest. Yeah, it's going to manifest.
And then you said about, I want to go back. There's so many good sound bites here. Okay. So the busy mode. So we're programmed to be busy, and that's how we find our self-worth, our value. Do you know where I do my best work? In the shower,
Me too. I love that. The most downloads ever in the shower. I'm like, whoa, I need to like have like a little notepad or something. A little
well, I take long showers because I'm busy getting downloads.
Yeah.
Or the toilet or the forest, you know. And then Andrew, this is my husband.
Hello.
I'm learning that busy does not require me to be rushed.
Oh,
good insight. That would say that there is no time to, that would say that there's no time to fully engage in the now because we're focused on that next thing. That is so insightful. I have a brilliant husband. Yeah, I have a brilliant husband. And yeah, because if you can't focus on where you're at by being present, you can't fully receive, going back to receiving.
Yeah.
I would love to somebody to call in and ask a question. Let me see if we have callers yet. We have lots of callers. If you want to speak to us, raise your hand. I've got one, 714-337-6781. We're going to bring you on to speak. And Grand Rising. And who? What's your name and where are you calling from?
Good morning. It's Catherine calling from Georgia.
Hi, Miss Catherine. How are you, Dolly?
I am wonderful. Thank you for asking.
So what's your question?
I have a situation where I had lost all my family members, and so I wanted to move back to a place where I had close friends. And what I came back to was a somewhat toxic old friendship. And when I'm with this person or even speak with this person sometimes because of the negativity and the harshness and the critical nature of this person, I find myself for days in my head over, you know, what happens or what happens when I talk with her or the things she says. And I want to learn how to not let her affect me because I feel like I need to get away from this friendship, yet this is the whole reason I moved back here to be with, you know, someone that was like family.
Ah, so you have a karmic contract with her, Catherine? but we should talk about, I mean, Amanda, maybe you want to talk about this. Because Andrew and I were talking about this, is that protecting your energy fields. You want to talk about how to protect your energy fields? Because when we're givers, like my husband is a huge giver, right? And we kept on getting, we were getting entities, the veils are so thin right now. So we're getting entities, attachments. I mean, we're releasing them, getting them, releasing them, getting them, getting them. WTF. You know, so, I mean, don't feel bad. You're in the party. So the thing is, Amanda, will you talk to protecting your energy field, since we're all frequency beings, and how you educate people to do that?
Yeah. So one thing I actually have found helpful, because if everything's coming from intention and the intention behind what we're doing, I've actually found it to be very helpful. I actually refer to it as strengthening my field. So what I do is I connect to, again, God, source, universe, whatever word you use. And I set the intention to strengthen my field because I found when I go into, and there are some times where if I'm going to like be in a large group or something, like I definitely may approach it a little differently and kind of put, you know, a love bubble or something around myself. But I found for me, if I'm coming from, and again, it's all down to intention. So if I'm doing a energy protection out of fear and out of, got to make sure that nothing gets in, then it's like on some level, to me, it just wasn't feeling good. So you can so simply connect to your own, your higher self and your source connection, again, whatever word you use to describe it, and through intention, you can strengthen your energy field. Now, I love what you said, Jody, about the veil being thin. So I say the same thing because the veil is extremely thin right now. And what that means, at least in how I would explain it, is that the amount of light that has come onto the planet, because there are so many of us doing this work and bringing that light into our bodies and releasing the density, the vibration and frequency of the planet has been raising. So what is happening is there, I explain it in two ways. There's like this collective dark night of the soul going on, so on like the main stage, and then there's these individual dark nights of the soul going on. So what I would offer to you is to, when you are having interactions with this individual, to pause and notice what's going on in your body. Because if it's coming up in your body and you're feeling it in your body, then it's an opportunity to neutralize that charge of what you're feeling in your body. So again, one way, there are so many different ways you can do this. And that's why I recommend, like, it's like not one size fits all. So a practice that I use might not work for you, where a practice Jody uses and offers may work for you. So it's just kind of learning how to like work through these things and to activate that own inner healer within, because again, we can neutralize these things, then we're in harmony with it and we strengthen our boundaries. So you can even start by putting a hand on your heart and breathing through it. Body, I feel you. I notice these emotions coming up, and maybe even naming the emotions. I notice where I just feel powerless in this situation, in this moment, and just simply being okay with what is showing up in the now. Because it's I always explain it. It's like, how would we show up? Because most of a lot of the patterning that the in conditioning and things that happen are from our childhood years. And so how would we speak to a little child if a little child walked up and just said, I'm just feeling like so frustrated and so sad and so tired like this. I don't know how to get out of this situation, this relationship. And it's like, okay, like how would we hold space for that child? We'd probably scoop that child up and say, it's okay. Like breathe through it. And just allowing the emotions in the space, like not necessarily trying to fix it. Because when we're trying to fix it, it goes back to this intention of like not actually being present for what is showing up in the moment. And when we're trying to fix it, it's like another way of just trying to escape it. And when we can just allow what is in this moment, because it doesn't have anything to do with her, actually, like kind of when it comes down to it foundationally. Yes, there may be some, it sounds like there's some boundaries that are going to potentially need to be created with this individual, but we only have control over how we show up for ourselves. And we don't have, she may act this way for the next 20 years of her life. We don't have control over that. And so what I've learned is I can choose to show up for myself first and to show up in kindness and love for myself first. And in the pauses is when I get clarity on what is to do next, what is like a next step for me to do in like external reality, because the external reality is a reflection of what's going on internally.
So I also want to do a yes and to that. So what I want everyone listening to think back to either when you raised children or you were a child yourself, okay? So if the child, whether it's you or yours, is having a tantrum or an upset, we put them in a timeout. We tell them to quash their feelings, bury their emotions. So we're trained, programmed, right? We're programmed to quash our emotions from day one. Mom doesn't say, well, tell me what's causing you to have this upset. I know that there are mothers that do that, by the way. I know my brother, Stephen, may he rest in peace, did that with his child. He asked every time she was in an upset, he asked her. She's actually fairly balanced, but she doesn't even remember him being such a gift. The point is, we're programmed not to ask them, not to ask ourselves, not to go within. And so if we can retrain our brain, our thinking, our approach to our upsets, to what, not what did I do wrong, but what's my lesson? What am I supposed to learn here, God? Source, energy. And so I just use God. So you fill in the blanks for yourself, right? So what's the lesson for me versus what did I do wrong? You didn't do anything wrong. This is called Earth 101. Sorry, you're in class all the time. Spoiler.
I love all those points, and that is very good information. And it does touch on, actually, my mother from my childhood. Yeah. And that's who this person, the negative energy, that is what it brings me back to and reminds me of.
So.
And it's something that doesn't sit well with me.
Well, and what you want to do with that is look at the gift. I'm going to give you an example, because we won't go through all of what you happened, you know, then. But my father, when he picked up the phone every single time or was in front of me, he'd say, "What's up, Joe? Talk fast." Now, if you study human behavior, which I have for 30 years, I'm a high D, meaning like CEO type, get to the point. So I could for saying to talk fast, like he didn't want to listen to me, but he's the high. So what he did is he taught me to be succinct. He taught me to be on point. He taught me to say exactly what I wanted to say without all the thought. Thank you. I could be pissed or I could be grateful. At the time as a child, I was pretty pissed. So the question is, what is it that she has done to you that you can shift the thinking to for you that makes you the human, the perfect human that you are today?
Okay.
Right? Different mindset.
Right.
Think about how can I look at whatever it is that she did, I know a person who walked in on his father having sex with his mistress. Mm. He is the most loyal person to his wife. So he could be pissed at his father, right? Or he could say, thank you, not to do. We're going to go to commercial. Think about that. And then if you want to share, you know, about that, Catherine, we can. How about that? So ponder that.
Okay,
I'm gonna.
Go
ahead.
Okay, great.
Okay, I'm gonna pop the microphone just for a moment, and we'll bring you back on. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So let's see what we got here. We have to go back to the right parts of the show. Here we go.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone.
Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
With a simple blood test and food plan, Susan Essentials will help your business, your family, and you eliminate toxins. To create a step-by-step plan to nourish your mind, body, and spirit. Click here to learn more.
Jody Susan of Susan Essentials is certified by the number one functional medicine doctor on plant-based healing essential oils, which are revolutionizing the way we manage our well-being. Schedule today to take control of your health. Hi, I'm Jody Susan of Susan Essentials. I started Susan Essentials in 2015 because of a personal health journey. I was over-medicated and put on 19 different medications. And yes, I reversed all my chronic diseases using plant and energy-based healing. It was amazing. At Susan Essentials, we support both consumers and businesses, and we do that with helping your employees or yourself with a food as medicine mindset. How Susan Essentials supports businesses and consumers is we teach people about a food as medicine mindset. So we support people on how to support their own immune system, how to support their brain health, how to support their emotional well-being. And we do that all with plant and an energy-based healing.
Well, we are back. And before we bring Catherine back, I want to share a little bit about food and energy. Food is a frequency. Plants are a frequency. And when you understand that all those things are frequencies and you're putting them in your body, and while your body's getting rid of the food called poop and pee, sorry, we're real on this show, the frequency stays. Your body retains the frequency. So if you're using essential oils, you can actually accumulate the high frequency of those oils, assuming that they are high frequency, if they're sourced properly, meaning without toxins. And so if you're eating conventional food and that, let's say it's a cow, let's say it's meat, and that cow was battered or not treated well, that cow had increased cortisol levels. And let's talk about the slaughter process. I mean, I studied a little bit about that when I was studying to become a bat mitzvah. I pivoted and became Christian, but it's okay. I mean, I learned great things. Well, when they slaughter an animal, the blood has to flow down so that one of the ways in which food is kosher, okay? It's the method of slaughter and, of course, being blessed by the rabbi. And so if you're eating food, if you're eating an animal, and I eat meat, okay? I'm not vegan. So, but if you're eating an animal that's been abused, you're getting that memory, that cellular memory, those that cortisol, that toxin, the whatever they fed that cow, whether it's a genetically modified organism or anything like that, that frequency, that low vibration frequency is now in you. So don't make it so hard on yourself. Eat food that is sustainably produced or organic, meaning sustainably produced for definition is made without chemicals. and then raise your own vibration that way. That's just an easy way to start. And that's why I want to share a couple more minutes about, not even that long, about my story. So I went from 235 pounds and lost 92. And my body was so happy to get to have real food, because I was eating box food, right? That it shed the weight fast. And I mean wicked fast, that I had to pin up my underwear because I didn't have any money to buy it because I was on disability. So weight came off and I had a safety pin. And there you go. Yeah, right? I mean, it's kind of funny. And so if you, I don't know how else to explain this. The thing is, if you're sitting out there, I don't know, someone out there is saying, I hear it, well, I don't have enough money to eat organic. You can't afford not to eat organic. Number one, you're not going to eat as much because your body's not craving it. Because the toxins that they're putting into the food are making your body crave more. So you can't afford not to eat organic. You're going to end up eating less and your bill's going to be less. And actually, because you're not buying boxed foods, processed foods, it costs less is the total bill. Yeah, the bell pepper costs more than the organic or sustainably produced bell pepper definitely costs more than the conventional bell pepper. But the total bill is smaller. And that's not including the visits to the doctor. So you're not going to the doctor as often. You don't think those copays add up? $30 or $40 a pop? Start adding that one up for the total. Add that $30 to your grocery bill instead. Mindset. All right. Rant over.
Love it.
Catherine, I'm going to bring you back on. We have lots of callers. So if there's Catherine, we'll bring you up back on. And if there's any other questions from anybody else, we welcome your questions. And Catherine, you're live now. Do you have another question for Amanda? Or do you want us to expand upon?
No, I understand. I need to protect myself with my white light. Let her energy bounce off of mine, protect myself, stay in my positive state, and not take in the junk.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's hard to do. So give yourself a grace card if you don't make it the first 10 times.
No, and allow myself to feel my feelings and understand what they are. That's huge for me. That is permission. You know, to accept my feelings and look at them and understand them. And I think that is a wonderful gift. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I love it.
Yeah. Go ahead.
In and of itself, too, just our willingness to feel the things that are coming up and showing up in that moment, that it's just a beautiful gift to give ourselves and to just, because it allows it to dissolve and then we don't have to carry it any longer because it's just, it's heavy stuff. It can be heavy stuff because it can be, you know, again, the patterning. And for me, I've noticed that you were kind of talking about, and you mentioned that there may be some kind of correlations and things that are similar to some of the stuff with your mom. And I noticed for me that when my parents got divorced, there was this abandonment wound that was created. And then like majority of the men thereafter that I dated, they all took off and left. And so it was this pattern of these characters showing up to, because it was so deeply rooted in my belief system and my field, I did not know as a little girl, I wasn't able to process like the trauma that this elicited in my body. And so it was still in my body. It was tied to my identity. It was tied to the belief that I'm not good enough and that people always leave. And so I continued to manifest the same situation, and these characters kept showing up. And once I started to look at these as, although sometimes can be very painful, I will say that I've, you know, I in the last year, like I've cried out a lot of old stuff. But as I started to look at, like, I call it getting activated or triggered as a gift, it's allowed me the opportunity to go deeper within myself. And again, it's like, if I can choose to look at it from a victim perspective, which I have done before,
I'm
like, oh, this person, right? This person is doing this thing to me. But if I look at what it's bringing up inside of my body and I allow myself the space and to feel it and to call it out, and that could be so simple as journaling it out. I've done so much is where I'll like audio record it on my phone and it'll kind of get the energy flowing because it's just stuck, it's trapped, stuck energy and it just wants to be heard. It wants to be seen. It wants to be felt. And so when we hold space for ourselves in that way, it just can be so expansive and it just really allows us to be able to feel what has been inside in there that wants to be cried out. Because then I don't know about you guys, but whenever I have a good cry, I feel like I just dumped like 18 pounds. Like we can slowly taking off the weight.
Can the pounds be exactly on my gut, please?
Right? I set the intention for that, right? Mm-hmm. But it just feels so much lighter because we're taking off the heavy weight and the things that we once maybe again like used to keep us safe. Like at the time when I was a little girl, it was like, it wasn't safe. Like for me in the situation that I was in, because there wasn't a lot of consciousness going on. It was a lot of people in their unconscious wounding. And when you have people in their unconscious wounding, it's like we're on autopilot. We're not creating from this place of expansiveness and consciousness and our highest, our 10 out, like what's our 10 out of 10. And so it creates these patterning situations. But yeah, just kind of to circle back and really just kind of bring it home there. But it just is so beautiful when we can, again, even just put a hand on our heart, focus on our breathing, because that actually, that work, doing that work, you can, there are all kinds of different ways that we can release it. But that actually is, in and of itself, it's changing those synapses. So it's doing rewiring work. It's allowing the release of those frequencies and those emotions from the body, because it's oftentimes it just wants to be felt and heard.
I am so grateful. Thank you so much. That was perfect.
Of course.
I'm going
You're welcome.
To do it.
So much
All right,
love
have
to
a great
you.
Day, ladies.
You too.
Thank you. Bye.
So Zelda is talking about releasing the need that created the patterns is releasing the need that created the patterns is a great challenge. So working on my abandonment issues, Teach, thanks. You know, she says, my journal is what saves me daily. Get outside of your head and save the day. So I want to talk about the power of journaling, especially Zelda, since you own a BOD, which I think I have one here. I do. This is the pod which Zelda owns, and I have several because we help people do a reset on the neural network of the brain using
Ooh.
This device. Yeah, sound frequency.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so, so you set it at different frequencies depending on, you know, what the trauma is. And when you listen to it and then you journal, at the same time, you're activating the trauma and the BOD picks it up, right? Or your brain picks up the BOD and says, oh, there's an interference there. Let's reset it. And in 20 minutes, you can unravel a trauma. So you take it from, let's say, if it's on a scale of 1 to 10, it's a 9 for you. You can get it to a 0 in 20 minutes. In 20 minutes. I've been using mine for 7 years. And it was so powerful that we incorporated it into a concept called the place of peace, because it puts the brain in a theta state, you know, really. Yeah. Okay. You get that.
It's just so powerful too. And one thing that is part of kind of this whole imprinting process is when we're children, that's what brainwave state we're in. We're functioning in theta brainwave. So we're sponges, so to speak, of everything going on, and we're taking in everything that's going on, and we're interpreting it. And so it's we can actually Yeah, that device sounds really, really cool. I'm interested in hearing more about that.
So I have videos among videos among videos, and plus we'll talk offline. But I mean, but this bod, so I had PTSD, right? Andrew, my husband, had PTSD. And specifically for him, it was around his car accident. He hit in the head at 70 miles an hour, and he was in a coma for 4 days. And so he had a traumatic brain injury that, you know, occurred way before we met, and he healed it. But because the stress got so profound for him, the symptoms of the TBI resurfaced. And so we use food and frequency.
Mm-hmm.
And he's what my mom would call a goddamn it.
Oh my God, damn it.
You know, like, he's good.
This shows how powerful it is. And what's coming to mind is the water study. It was, maybe you remember the name, but where they, the name of the individual, because this is a very well-known study, but for some reason, the name of the scientist or the doctor is kind of, it's not coming to mind, but where there were people that were setting intention of certain emotions and basically like,
oh, all day
reflecting into the water, and it changes the molecular structure. So it was like some of like really dense, like yucky emotions, and then some of love, like more of high vibrational emotions. And they put the water under a microscope, and the water, the molecular structure of the water with the like heavy frequencies was much more distorted. And I think it was more of like a crystalline structure of the water with the love. And it even speaks to a lot of our DNA is changing. I actually believe we're reverse aging. So
I am totally reverse aging. Come on.
Yes. And
come on.
Absolutely.
I'm with you, sister. So here's the thing. We haven't done it lately, but we take our water and we wrap our beamer around it, which is pulse electromagnetic frequency. And what that does is what the beamer does, besides ground you with the earth's frequency and help with nutrient absorption and circulation, imagine you beam your water and you drink that crap. Mm-hmm. And not only that, I mean, that's that water study. But then I want, if you're listening, go to the EWG.org website, okay? And look at all the chemicals that are in your water if you're not filtering it, because I sell water filters, okay? So if you're not filtering your water, that low vibration chemical is in your body. How do you think you're going to feel? Crappy. Yeah.
And all the things that get put in our water already, the fluoride and the, you know, all of that stuff.
Totally.
Just,
and fluoride calcifies your pineal gland.
Yeah, there's fluoride in your toothpaste. Check your toothpaste.
Not my toothpaste, honey.
Yeah, exactly. I know I got rid of all that stuff a while ago. And I was talking to my mom one day. I'm like, Mom, the deodorant, the toothpaste, we gotta get you some cleaner stuff. And she got rid of all of it. But yeah, because the thing is that most people, I remember going to the dentist as a child, and it was like, here's your fluoride pill. Here's your fluoride rinse. It was just like fluoride, everything.
Yeah,
and
like crap.
You know, all the things around, like, it's so detrimental to the body and the pineal gland and everything. It's just...
Well, so what happened to me, and we're going to go to commercial in a minute. So the drug that I was on, Prozac, had so much fluoride in it that it caused me to have... small fiber neuropathy. Do I have proof that that's the exact cause of my small fiber neuropathy? No, I don't. But I was taking that drug for 20 years. Sorry. And we know what fluoride does. They also said that the small fiber neuropathy is not reversible. Guess what I did?
Reversed it. I believe. I love that.
Yeah. So if you're listening and you've gone to a doctor who says they can't reverse that, I call BS. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I second that.
the only thing that's kind of tough right now that I know of to reverse is when you're, it's type 1 or type 2? Type 1 diabetes, because your spleen, or your, is it your spleen that's not working? Or your, there's a body part, there's a part of the body that just gets wiped out, and it's, so we would take a long time. It's not a quick fix, but even if you're diabetic, you can reverse diabetes fast. I mean, just to make sure I don't get diabetes again, I take one drop of cinnamon essential oil, and it goes into my dandelion coffee. My coffee is made from dandelions, not from coffee beans and chicory root. And so that, so my morning, I'm getting something that's going to manage my blood sugar levels just in case. You know, like cinnamon's not going to hurt me. It's, you know, it's a blood purifier. So enjoy it, right? I mean, one drop. And so we're going to come back. Oh, and Zelda has a question. So Zelda, we're going to answer your question. And I'd love for my husband to call in. He says, talk more about, after commercial, how we act or react based upon our unconscious and what we can do about that. Now, if he wants to call in, I'm not going to argue. Let me go to a quick commercial. So let's see here. Oh, so listen up. You don't really actually, let me just do this. And Zelda reversed diabetes too, by the way, she said. And I know she did because we met at the American Diabetes Association. All right, so let's do this. Okay, so that was focused life force energy. And focused life force energy is a frequency that goes on the home or your body or whatever you want to act, you can even attach it to your phone. And it's a frequency of God, and it's a frequency of Shunga. So imagine the longitude and latitude of your home being covered with shungite, which is a natural way to eliminate or neutralize the effects of electromagnetic frequencies. And then the frequency of God, think about being in church or synagogue or any temple where you guys are all praying and creating a high vibration. Imagine a high vibration around you all the time. That's what that is. So if anybody wants to learn about that, they should let me know. But we're going to go straight to, you know, to our callers. And let me just see here. He has not called in yet, my husband. Maybe he doesn't want to. So we'll go back to his comments. So it says, talk more about how we act or react based upon our unconsciousness and what we can do about that. Amanda.
All right. Yeah, so the unconscious really does, like, run a lot, like, for the most, I'll say this, when we start doing this conscious work, it becomes something to where we just kind of, like, for me, I would say what we can do about it. So I notice, like, when the emotions come up or when the uncomfortability comes up, again, I sense it a lot in my body. I would, you know, recommend kind of, again, learning how you sense these things, but that always tells me that there's something, because I do truly believe that our, like, divine state is this beautiful, like, state of alignment and flow. We're embodied in our essence to where we're just, like, we're emanating our truth, because I believe that we are a unique expression of God. And so we all have this beautiful, unique soul blueprint, soul frequency that is a piece of the puzzle of the whole. And so the... up until the point when you kind of have this awareness and this awakening to the deeper nuances, meanings, things related to the way energy works, the way the universe works. And I will also very humbly say I am learning just as everyone else is. So, I'm not beginning to say that I know everything about this, right? I am learning as well. But the unconscious piece. So when we are going through our, like I mentioned, even our early years of life, like we're taking in everything, and that can even start in the womb. It can come down from ancestral and genetic and
thank
our
you.
DNA.
Thank you. So the issues are in the tissues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
I feel like it's all like an aspect of it. And
that's,
so there, it
that's
can
where
be
this
so
comes
many
in,
layers.
By the way. So this comes in for the issues that are in the tissues in this generation. And I don't know about you, but I clear the issues that are in the tissues for past generations.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Me too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. So again, and it goes back to too, is like, is this even mine? So there were things around like kind of this like poverty, scarcity energy that I was feeling. I was like, this is interesting. And when I tuned into it, and there have been layers on both sides of the family, but this particular thing I'm speaking of was from my mother's ancestral lineage. And so I was able to release that from the DNA, which that in and of itself changes to where it's like, okay, well, now I'm not going to pass that down when I have children. So the unconscious aspects and how we react to it, if we have these software programs running in the background and they've been a part of us for our entire life,
thank you,
it would only make sense that we are continuing kind of on this autopilot to where we're responding in certain ways. And again, I go back to the identity that we, the characters that we play, because I like to explain it like this. We play characters to keep ourselves safe and to take the path of least resistance at the time that certain tumultuous situations arise, or maybe even good situations, but we can play these characters in our lives. And when we're playing characters, we're not in alignment with our essence and our truth. We're almost, you know, again, and this is like no judgment, no shame on any of this. This has just been my experience and the way that I've kind of learned to unravel these things so I'm not in my unconscious. And one thing that I've said is, God, I'm willing to see the truth. And I think just
that's powerful. Mm-hmm. God, I'm willing to see the truth.
I choose to see the truth as well.
I choose to see the truth. That's powerful.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Keep going.
Yeah. So kind of circling back to like the unconscious, when we are, again, in our younger years, playing these characters, archetypes, whatever you want to call it, we humans love to label these things. Again, if it's not congruent and it's not authentic to who you truly are, if we're doing it to kid ourselves or keep ourselves safe, it's going to show up in physical, it can show up in discord and disease in the body, the physical manifestations of it. And then we are, so to speak, subscribing to these things mm-hmm. that aren't us. And this can go so deep. I can go so esoteric on the templates and the structures that have been embedded on this planet for thousands of years. And we're actually, I truly believe, we're dissolving a lot of that right now. And I think that's why a lot of these things are coming up. And also why a lot of people are losing it.
Well, they're exhausted, for one. Everyone's exhausted. And actually, Andrew is on the phone. I'm going to open up his mic. Hold on.
Okay.
I was listening to you. I was just taking my time to get on.
No, I knew you were listening. I just didn't know if you wanted to get on. And I love it when you get on the air with me. So go ahead and share your thoughts. I mean, or ask your questions, you know.
Well, the unconscious is that I wrote in the text, because people are, and it's one of the things that I'm working on for sure, is pausing before speaking. Sounds easy, but sometimes, lots of times it's not. Pausing before speaking, because we need to digest some things and feel like what, and get out the words that will make the most impact. One reason why I think people don't pause, is because we're afraid that someone else is going to jump in and steal the time. So there's a pause in the conversation. You start talking, and then if you pause, someone else is going to jump in there. You can't finish what you wanted to say. They'll say, we'll come back to you later, but it doesn't happen, or it's hard. Her train of thought's gone. And so I mention this because there's unconsciousness that we need to be aware of and be able to get more of a hold of being in the present tense, I'm rambling a little bit about it, but I've been doing some thought about how to better present myself, how to make a better impact, and a lot of that is by maybe pausing so the unconscious, the thing just doesn't come out. That's a bit of a ramble. Let's just start talking a little bit about that.
I love it. One thing that was kind of coming to me as you were talking, it's like once we like have these awarenesses too, it's like once we know it, we can't unknow it. Like once it's conscious or we've brought light to like a pattern or a feeling or a thing, I've just found it's like, okay, now I can't unknow this, which is also just so powerful. And we've talked about presence and being present in the now. And I think that's another like beautiful aspect of this whole thing that we're talking about with the unconscious, because it's like the ego and the unconscious, I do believe that like they, to some degree, want to keep us safe, right? And if we're calling out these patterns that have been a part of us for so long, it's like the ego is like, well, what am I going to do? This part of me is going to die. Like, and so it's like they don't necessarily want us to go there and bring and shed the flashlight on all of these things, because it would be that death, so to speak. Like, I feel like in the last year I've experienced this where these parts, like, oh, okay, I see this part or this, you know, this people pleaser or whatever. And it's like, well, it can feel very uncomfortable to shine the light on these patterns and then to choose something else that is in more of alignment. And the, I wrote down, like, as you were speaking, like reacting versus responding. And I love some of the things you were kind of talking about on those pauses, because it's like if we don't pause, then we're actually not able to receive. We're not able to listen. We're not able to acknowledge, because we're so ready to just, again, react. And that, to me, would be kind of tied to that unconsciousness, is because we're just, you know, we want to be heard, or we want to.
Well, we're formulating the response.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, there you go. Being an active listener, Jody and I talk about this a lot, being able to be an active listener and not having already listening, already ready to respond. When another person is speaking, don't always be ready to try to formulate your response. Truly listen, absorb what's happening.
Yeah, and I noticed that you're taking notes, Amanda. Does that help you be an active listener?
Yeah, sometimes like if like there's like a word you say or, you know, something that's like coming through for me and I'm like, oh, this is really, really profound. It's like, you know, just keeping it like, and I don't take a ton of notes, but I just kind of write down words.
Like in a parking lot, right? You put it in a parking lot. That's
yeah,
what
and
I
it's,
do too.
And it's like if we come back to it, great. If we don't, I'm also okay with that, because I'm just learning. It's like I just, like being able to be in a place to where we're not necessarily attached to these things, because that might have been the download that came through 30 seconds ago. But when we're here in the now, something could have completely shifted and now this new, more expansive thing is coming through. And so if I'm attached to this old thing that came through, then I'm holding on to that when something else that's maybe so much bigger than me is ready to come through and be shared based on where we're at in the now. And so it's like sometimes our mind's like, what did you just say? But it's,
well,
you know,
and that's
what I mean?
What's happening to me today. I'm having a unique experience with you because I'm in the clouds with you. Like, because we talk the same thing. So for me, I'm in such a space of calm and comfort, and I could just let you, like, speak and not even say a word, because it's music, right, to my ears. But this is a show, so I can't do that. So, and one of the things that you said, by the way, and you said it more than once, I feel like we need to bring it up, about the death of the past. That is profound. There's a lot of crying involved when you're releasing your past, is there not?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Because you're absolutely releasing the old reality.
Yes. So, and some people will call it like a dark night, the soul, the shadow aspect, you know, whatever is coming up. But again, going back to what we were talking about, if this density is in your energy field and it's coming up, because I think there's a lot of kind of maybe misconceptions or things in even the spiritual community, as with anywhere, where it's like, oh, love and light, love and light. Great. That's great. I would love to live there 100% of the time. But I found for me that that just has not cut it because there's a form of like, what is it saying? The only way out is through. Because it's like when we discount or sidestep what's showing up in this moment and what's coming up, and this ties back in beautifully with the unconscious, what I'm going to say, because I use like the emotions and the things that are coming up as kind of my compass. What is showing up right now? And again, the question, is this mine? And is this, you know, what wants to be seen, felt, heard in this moment?
Thank you.
Because again, it brings it back into the here and now. And then we actually, it can be so simple as just that acknowledgement that allows the attachment, the pain, the thing to dissolve, because it doesn't have that unconscious power over us anymore when we're willing to just see it. And one thing I've mentioned before to some of my clients, I'm like, sometimes it's not even necessarily like the healing part that's the hardest for people. It's the ego and the unconscious ability to let go of the control of seeing it and feeling it.
Say that last part again. It's the unconscious. Wait, say that again.
Sometimes it's our bare, sometimes it's not even the healing that is the most challenging part for people. I found that sometimes it's just allowing like the ability for us to see it and letting the ego and the unconscious just like the fighting it, the resistance,
the
to
resistance.
Even feeling the thing. Yes.
So the resistance.
Amanda, I want to add something to that. When you were talking about releasing things that no longer serve us, so you, those weren't your words, those are mine. But when people pleasing, I'm a big people pleaser, and Joey mentioned that, kind of alluded to that earlier in the broadcast. And I know that I need to, if I'm not helping myself, I'm not serving myself, I can't be of enough service to others. And being able to release that ingrained feeling of always doing for others before I do for myself has been challenging. And even though I know that I can be a better person and do both, yeah, By looking for my highest good and my serving my needs first, it's tough. And I'm sure that you deal with a lot of clients who have, you say, this is what you, to really move forward, I would suggest you move in this direction and release those bad or those patterns from your past, those habits from your past that are holding you back. And they'll say, I know, I just can't do it. I can't seem to do it. It's a challenge. Even if you know what's best for you, it's hard to really do it.
Yeah, I love how these things always tie so beautifully into like what it always like works out. Because I'll share this story of my experience, because I actually like it. I'm actually, that's been the lesson for me, is the people pleasing in the last several weeks. And I kind of mentioned this earlier, the wanting everybody to see me and my character and to love me and all these things. And I realized that I was like almost trying to pacify other people's feelings, even if it was like I didn't do anything wrong, and maybe their interpretation of something brought up some emotional reaction in their body, and then trying to like fix it and take responsibility for what was it mine to take responsibility for. And so as I have acknowledged this pattern recently and had to release some relationships, it was very uncomfortable for me, because again, speaking to our unconscious patterns, if we've been doing something for so many years, it can feel like a shock to the system, because it's like, whoa, this is foreign. Whoa, am I doing this wrong? Whoa. But at the same time, it's like the alternative didn't feel very good either. And it was continuing to present itself as an opportunity for me to see where I can choose to see the higher perspective. And like you had mentioned as well, it's like if I'm allowing and choosing to have other people show up in this way and to dump on me or to blame me or to make me feel bad, and I'm choosing to kind of play in that reality, then it's like, well, I'm showing up in that frequency, and I'm showing up in a way that is not going to be of the highest service to myself first and foremost, and then to others as a reflection of like where I'm at. So whereas if I choose to, well, you know, this isn't actually my responsibility to hold this for somebody else and to fix this, and then it's also giving them an opportunity to go through their process of emotions. Because let's say I think I kind of mentioned this earlier, if I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, like, let me fix it, then it actually doesn't allow even the chemical process of the in the body. So if there's a, like an emotion coming up, we want it. Sometimes we often try to stop it. And we're like, oh, I got to just, when people are like, go distract yourself. Like I, for me personally, that is one of like the worst advice possible. When you're having like an emotional thing come up and someone tells you to go find a distraction, because it actually prevents the chemical process in the body of what's arising. And it, again, it could be a pattern, it could be an isolated event, but the emotions are being produced, you know, via the various organs or mechanisms in the body, the chemical mechanisms. And so when we stop that process, we're stopping that chemical process from moving through us. And that's when stuff becomes suppressed in the organs, in the body. And that's why we have like the depression and the mental health and all these things.
Cancer.
Because we're not allowing the movement of it.
Cancer.
Yes.
Cancer. Mm-hmm. Right? Because after depression and anxiety, what comes? Cancer. Just saying. Spot on, Amanda. Spot on.
And it actually, I want to bring back too that it actually is so simple. And I want to offer this because I've heard, and I have said this myself, oh, it's really hard. Oh, it's really hard. It's hard if that's what you subscribe to and what you choose it to be. But it actually is very simple. I want to offer this because when we have these things come up, if we go back to presence and allowing and even asking for help, and even I've said before, like when I had this experience with this business thing I've been going through, I said, okay, God, like I don't have the answer for this in this moment. So I know right now it's not for me to, I don't need to take any action because I don't have, there's no action that I'm being guided to take, but I am willing to be the receiver of something that is higher than me, this innate, beautiful wisdom. I love the bird, by the way. Oh my gosh. I'm an animal person, so I just got distracted by the parrot that you just brought on. I love it.
And yesterday was her birthday, so she wanted to be like, you know, acknowledged.
Oh, well, happy birthday.
Happy birthday. And she's a magical creature.
She looks like, I love it. Oh
yeah,
my gosh.
I mean, she's a channel like that. Oh. Yeah. But go ahead, because what you're saying.
I know, I kind of like had a squirrel moment, but it was a bird moment, really. Yeah. So.
Oh, man. Oh, my God.
Sometimes I'm like, the thoughts are like flying out of my head. I'm like, where is it going?
That's hilarious.
So now I kind of lost my train of thought. But again, it was to my point that it doesn't have to actually be hard and challenging because
it doesn't have to be hard. It can be easy. No. It's your self-talk. It's your inner talk. Is it hard or is it easy? Does God have my back or not have my back? And here comes the second bird. Okay. Hello.
And one beautiful thing that's helped me a lot is, what is present right in this moment for me to do? I don't have to worry about, like, if I'm not present with you right here, right now, then I'm somewhere else. I'm not all here. And what is showing up in this moment for me to do? And that might be take a drink of water. That might be go meditate. That might be go work out. That might be, you know, start writing your program. I don't know what that is. That's something for you to decide and for you to tune into because, again, going back to when we have all of these, you know, agendas and lists, and it's like we're forcing life rather than allowing this beautiful flow of God to come through us so that we can be that expression of God rather than trying to,
I want to point out what you just said, trying to force something. If it's not supposed to happen, don't try to force it. It's not going to end well.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, girlfriend, you gonna come out here and show everybody? Okay. All right.
Oh, we got two of them. So amazing.
Yeah. So these are my magical creatures, and I love them. You know,
so,
Zelda had a question, and I just want to answer this for her. She was, what is small fiber neuropathy? What part of the body affects? So small fiber neuropathy is all over body pain. It usually comes for people who have diabetes. A lot of people can have it just in their feet, but I had it all over my entire body and reversed it. So we can talk offline. And then she said she reversed diabetes herself at thediabeticdonut.com. There's a free download. And then this one, Naima, so who's our executive producer. She says, Grand Rising, beautiful queen teachers. This has been such an insightful show. We need to learn that we are not here to suffer or sacrifice our happiness in order to please others. It's so huge, right? So we are not here to sacrifice. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't compromise. Compromise is good, but you don't compromise to and sacrifice at the same time. I mean, if it's a small sacrifice and it's not a, like a huge sacrifice, like for a second, I mean, you have to use your better judgment. And how do you know whether or not you're doing the right thing? Your body will tell you, because that's your frequency, and your frequency doesn't lie. Right?
I'm getting emotional because I just feel like someone needs to hear this. And when you were reading that, I just felt it in my whole body, because that piece, like, we're not here to suffer. We aren't. Like, you are absolutely here to thrive. And what I've learned, it's a journey back home, really. And home is just, like, simply back home to you and your innate essence. And it's like we don't have to be hard on ourselves, because it does come out in layers. There are, you know, people I know who've experienced extreme bouts of trauma. And then there are others who maybe haven't had as extreme bouts of trauma, but there's still layers. And so we can be gentle with ourselves and really just notice what's coming up in the moment, and really, really trusting that we do have support from God, from the divine, and that it's like life doesn't want to mess with us. Like it's really, I truly believe, just showing us constantly these things that have been weighing us down. And so we can reframe the way we look at it in any moment, and we can really just allow this process to unfold. And the emotions are fleeting, although I know uncomfortable. Like I completely get it. And I will say, for, you know, even one thing that has been very powerful in my journey as a woman, because our society, I feel it's like we have the masculine and feminine polarities inside of us, and coming back to, for us as feminine, because it's like I had to really peel back those layers of all the ways that I hardened myself. And the feminine is all about receiving. This journey can be of beauty, grace, ease, flow. And then it's just this beautiful dance with the universe, to where you can actually step into, like, we don't necessarily, again, going back to, we don't have to force. So we are powerful creators. We're human, little human magnets. And so you can actually, when you're in your meditation, or when you're just in kind of that creation mode, you can actually drop into the frequency of what it is you want to experience. And I always say, this is something greater. Okay, God, like if there's something, maybe I'm not seeing all of it. And you can actually put yourself into that experience. And the body and the mind doesn't know the difference between this, like putting yourself into that, versus it happening in the physical. So that's how we plant these energetic seeds to create and to call in and to be able to receive these things. And so we're teaching the body that
I'm saying the word receive. Mm-hmm. And I need to, we're going to kind of go like a minute over, but I'm being called to share this. Where in life have we seen receivers, radio, TV, antennas, right? These are all receivers. So I'm going to plant this seed. We as humans are antennas. We are receivers, right? And so when you consider the fact, 60 seconds, but when you consider the fact that you're an antenna here to receive, you also have to choose what you want to receive. Is it going to be good energy or bad energy? And then what are you pushing out through the airwaves? Good energy or bad energy. So if you consider yourself an antenna, a receiver, like the electronics, right? We all understand electronics for the most part, you know, that we can receive radio waves to hear this show, right? So what do you want to receive? What do you want to put out in the universe? And then choose your frequency, because your frequency doesn't lie. Can't fake your frequency.
Love it.
So I want to make sure that people know how to get in touch with you. Let me go back to
to this, contact Amanda at www.amandamonier.com or hello@amandamonier.com. And where else can they reach you? Instagram?
Yeah, I do have an Instagram. My website is, what is it? I would say website or Instagram are the two best ways to reach me. And then, yeah, I mean, there's my email on there. So that's another way if you have any specific questions, but those are the primary ways.
We are so grateful, you know, I'm so grateful that you made time. You know, what we didn't tell everybody, you know, we didn't like point out, you're on Pacific time. It's early in the morning.
It is. When my 4 o'clock alarm, I was like, okay, we're doing this.
Yeah, right. I get you because I'm not a morning person. So I want to, you know, thank you. I want to thank Naima, Andrew, Zelda, everybody's participated on the show, the media connection, and Catherine, she called in, the Higher Learning Network, Jamie Zahn. I know that there's more people that were listening. I didn't quite get everybody this morning, but we're just really grateful when you listen or call in or however you choose to play. If you can, subscribe to my YouTube channel. You will get notified whenever we have whenever I have my show, which is every Tuesday morning. You can watch everyone every single morning from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time, 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern. And what was it, Pacific? Like anybody getting up?
I'm in Southern California, so.
So yeah. That was 5 o'clock this morning for you?
Yes, 5 a.m.
So yeah. 5 to 7 in the morning. So if you're going for your run, 5 o'clock in the morning in California, yeah, tune in. I'm personally not up that early, so just I'm not offended, so catch the replay. Let's see what else we got here. And Andrew says, thank you, Amanda, and Grand Rising and Sun Rising.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you as well. Yeah, so nice meeting you.
We're so grateful. And then you can watch this podcast on the Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution. You can also watch it on Podbean, Spotify, Alexa. It's all over. Tune in where you want. And I think we're here to end. Any last words that you want to say before we run the ending? Or
I'll just circle back to, I mentioned it at least once, and it's just been so profound and kind of one of those things where, not that I necessarily, well, it would have been nice to know sooner, but just really going back to trusting yourself, your own intuition, and that would mean who you choose to spend your time with, who you choose to work with, maybe, you know, healers, support. But really going back to trusting those inner knowings and nudges, because it really, once again, just is a journey back home to, like, who you truly are and what you came here to experience do. And it doesn't have to be it doesn't have to be hard. It becomes even more challenging when we don't listen to ourselves and we don't trust ourselves, and it can kind of, you know, sidestep us off our path for a little while. So yeah. I would just come back to that as like the main thing I love to leave people
with. Yeah. And I'll add to that. So I just got a download before I was looking up. So here's what they're saying. There's a lot of people out there that are struggling with, well, I don't want to abandon X, meaning my mom, my dad, my sister, my friend, my brother, whatever. You don't have to. You just have to shift the type of relationship that you have. You may be in relationship and you don't talk about specific things, that you may be in relationship a little bit at a distance to let some healing take place.
Yeah.
You don't have to abandon people. You can just shift how you relate. Like choose. Yeah. And so you don't have to feel guilty for wanting the shift. I'm hearing there's a lot of guilt out there. You don't have to feel guilty about it. Just, you know, I mean, and I'm not going to say who this was, but someone I've known since I was born, we had to shift our relationship. And it, because we both chose to do it, it's actually really healthy and really loving. And
yeah.
And he's not as open about stuff as I am. So I won't say who it is, but I'll just say that
because we both loved each other, but knew that talking about whatever it was that we were talking about didn't work, he chose not to talk about certain things. I chose not to talk about certain things. And we found other things over time to talk about.
Yeah, I've had the same experience last year. I had to shift my relationship with my dad. And it's like, again, like kind of foundations, like we can't necessarily build a house on a rocky foundation. So sometimes there needs to be that reset, which actually allows for something more beautiful to come through when we're not holding on to what was. We can choose and create something more beautiful than maybe we wouldn't have even known. And if it feels off, it may be that thing inside of you that's telling you, like, maybe it's time to evaluate that. And you know what's best for you. Aside from all the chatter, you can tune in, drop into your heart, bring that awareness to your breath, and really just receive that guidance from your higher knowing.
Well, and these two, so Fegla and Tinkerbell love this conversation. I know they're really excited because when Tinkerbell has something that really has to be said, she bites me like, "Mom, listen up," you know? Yeah, so.
Love the name too, Tinkerbell. I love that.
So I didn't name her. She came to me as Tinkerbell. I adopted her. She was traumatized. And, but she was so sweet. And I'm like, I don't get Tinkerbell. That doesn't, you know, that didn't resonate with me. And of course I was asleep, right, when I adopted her. And so I started calling her Sweetness because she's so sweet. I mean, she's like a ball. I mean, she is sweet, you know. And then I got why she's called Tinkerbell. She's a fairy. She's a magical fairy. So now she has two names. You know, like, yeah, she's a bright light. The both of them. I mean, but this one, I used to think that Fegla here, right here, I thought that she was the older soul. Not even kind of. This one.
So awesome. Animals are so beautiful. Oh, I just love animals.
Oh, my gosh.
You can learn a lot from animals. I learn so much from my dog every day. I'm like, wow, I can learn how to be very unconditionally loving from you.
Well, right. And so, and birds are not unconditional. I'm going to tell you. Okay. Yeah, they agree. And so they demand respect. No surprise that birds are like my spirit animal.
Yeah.
So anyways, and Deborah is on, Deborah Smith. She says, awesome, choosing my frequency. Thank you all. And if anybody ever needs help with travel, they should call Deborah Smith. She can help you book your air travel, your hotel travel. She's amazing. And she is on Saturdays, one Saturday a month, and she talks about travel and education and how it helps fuel your, I mean, it really does fuel your health. So, all right, so we're past our time, but that's okay. It's 10:08. I'm going to run our ending, and we are going to end our show. Let me just do that.